People persecute you. You don't have to be beaten. They can persecute you with words. They can reject you. And every single one of us, at some time or other, we are going to go through fiery trials. Notice it says to try you. That is to test you to see what you're really made out of as a Christian.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. It's good to have you with us today as Raul continues in 1 Peter with a challenge to trust that the Lord is a faithful shepherd, even when He guides us through suffering and trials. You'll see that in those difficult times, we have the choice to grow from God's testing and respond to His chastening. When we do that, He can work mightily in and through our lives. Let's listen as Raul Reese begins in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12.
This was a very important time in the history of the church. And the reason I say that is because Peter is a writer. And he was writing at the beginning of the Christian persecution by Caesar Nero. They would last for 200 more years. And hundreds and thousands and millions would die. And what's really incredible that at this particular moment, as he's sitting there in Rome writing, in his own conscience, in his own mind, he recognizes that he is going to be killed because the Lord prophesied it. It's just a matter of time. And maybe he felt like I feel that time is short for me. That's how I feel my life. That I gotta speak truth. And I gotta speak it quickly. Because Peter did not care what would happen to his voice, but that he would stand in righteousness. And he would stand in the presence of God's holiness. And so when Peter writes this great epistle, most of the epistle is about persecution. And then the damage that would come to the church by having been tortured, they would tar them down and then light them on fire, throwing them into the lion's den, putting them next to horses and ripping them in half, as mom and dad would watch their children be tortured and killed, and to be maimed, to be buried alive. And to me, it's incredible when you think about it and you read, and here Peter uses one of the most gentle words in the scripture, because four times in this great section of chapter 4, he uses the words suffering. Suffering. In this verse, he talks about the painful trials that you and I as Christians are experiencing every single day of our lives. Every single day of our lives. No matter what it may be. To know one thing, that if I am a Christian, God is in control of my life. Trials, temptations are different from what happens when we get chastened by the Lord. When chastening comes, it's because the child of God has to be what? Corrected. Because you're swaying to the right or you're swaying to the left. You're leaving the way of the cross. And so God, as a shepherd leading his sheep, he has a staff. And what does he do with that staff? He taps the sheep when they're going a little bit astray. They get disciplined. And that's what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12. Whoever the Lord loves, he chastens as a father chastens his sons or daughters. I like that. That God loves me so much. And God loves the world so much that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We have to be seekers of God. We have to spend time with God. Very important. So yes, get your mind now and think of Peter sitting there with a pen and writing this letter. And he starts out in verse 12 by using an incredible word, beloved. And the word here, beloved, is in reference to suffering Christians, a word of endearment. Peter is feeling sorry for his brothers and sisters. He's compassionate. Are you compassionate for people that are going through the fire? He says, beloved, do not think it strange. Don't think it's weird concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing is happening to you. Don't think that you're weird because you're going into the fire. Me facing my problems that I have. Very important. Those things that we go through, those things that we face in our own personal lives are things that are going to stretch us and make us grow in Christ. And make us strong to stand for righteousness' sake. I think it's really important that we become wise. In these last days with so much cancer, so many people losing their homes, losing their jobs, so many people with other infirmities, that the body of Christ needs to return to its first love, and we need to be compassionate too. Compassionate. Caring, praying, helping. Not to be taken advantage of, but the true characteristic of love. Love is always giving, not taking. Always forgiving, never resentful. And when I read this and I was studying it this whole week, man, it just really pierced my heart. Because I think it's really important that as we look at these words, the word here that is used for fiery trial is the word persecuted for your faith. People persecute you. You don't have to be beaten. They can persecute you with words. They can reject you. They can hate you. And every single one of us, at some time or other, we are going to go through fiery trials. Notice it says to try you. That is to test you. To see what you're really made out of. To see what you're really made out of as a Christian. He says, don't think that it's weird or some strange thing has happened or has fallen by chance to you. No. God's in control. God is allowing it. Because Peter here is talking about that suffering that they were facing in their own personal lives, and at the same time as Christians being tortured, being lit on fire, and then at the same time being killed. They had a better home to look to. Heaven. Remember John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in me, believe also that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come back again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you also will be with me. Those are comforting words. And yet when I start thinking of this world and when I read this, I think of all the phony prosperity ministries today. On television, radio, that are constantly begging for money from people that have a lot of needs. Fleecing the flock of God to build their empires. They need to be exposed. Too many phony TV evangelists out there. And radio evangelists too. It's really important that we understand that the Word of God is the most important thing when we're teaching and giving to people to do what? To exhort them, to build them up, and to give them a hope for the future. That's why it's important to study God's Word. That's why we're here tonight. And yet these people, they live their own little world, a world of selfishness, building their little empires by fleecing God's little sheep. God's little sheep. It's called the gospel of prosperity, positive confession. It is not a true gospel. They're imposters. They're false teachers. And they don't teach God's word. They're not true pastors. They're hirelings. Hirelings. We'll get to that more in chapter 5. Peter really exposes them. Heavy stuff he does. This is one of the problems that we have today. And yet, when you read John's letter to the church of Laodicea, remember the seven churches in the book of Revelation? He starts out in chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the Ephesus church. And by the time he goes to the six churches, he comes to the last church of Laodicea. And what you see today is that we are heading towards the end of the world, and we're heading to the church of Laodicea, where he says, you're rich and increase in goods. And it's an actual image of today. And they didn't even know they were actually naked and in poverty, spiritually speaking. It's the apostate church, the church of the Antichrist coming. That's why you need to be careful what you read and who you listen to. You need to be careful. You need to check the doctrine. Is it the same thing that your Bible teaches, or are they twisting it? Are they changing it? I think that one of the things the Lord did, the Lord always disassociated himself from the church that was apostate. He would not stay there. He declared himself to be outside it altogether, not for it, but against it. Jesus said that. Jesus will judge such people. He said that it made him sick when you have these people that are fleecing God's people and not giving the truth to God's people. And yet the normal condition of the church today in a world, and like the church of Peter in Rome's time, was a church that was hated. Hated. And they hated Christ. And they rejected him. And what do? They persecuted the Christian. That's why this fiery trial in the Greek is the word perosis. It means to set on fire. To set on fire. Peter already has told his readers, as we read before, that they can expect to be refined in the fire as gold refined as in a furnace. Remember 1 Peter chapter 1, 7? He says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, says, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and the glory at the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ when he comes again.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for Bible-based resources to enrich your faith and equip you with strength in your struggles. Raul is also happy to respond to your prayer requests when you email him at PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now back to more with Raul Reese.
In the Septuagint, the same word is used of the furnace in which precious metals are purified in the fire as gold, silver. Proverbs 27:21 says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold. And a man is valued by what others say of him. What others say of him. We can either bless or we can curse. We can either put a tag on somebody for the rest of their lives, or we can build them up, or we can tear them down. Nero was like the beast. He was called the beast. Nero was like type of the Antichrist. He's one of the first emperors that brought great persecution to the church. The final persecution took place by Diocletian, and he really brought turmoil to the church. So for 10 emperors, starting with Nero, Caesar, all the way down, man, the church suffered. For the first 300 years, the church itself was in the world. How can the church be in the world and at the same time watch what's happening to true believers? Being prosecuted, being persecuted, being killed. 1 John 2:14, 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world." It is of the world, not of God. And yet, Jesus Christ and the church was despised and hated because they didn't want to be part of the world system. They made a stand even with their own lives. And yet, look at our own times today. What's taking place in our world today? Unbelief, hatefulness for the church, the Christians. They're trying to actually take away all of our Christian rights. The Constitution they're trying to change in the United States of America. Yet we know that not only these are the last days before the Lord comes, but if it is the last days before the Lord comes, and God has promised to us through Jesus Christ that the church, the real church, is not going to be here. We're not going to be here. Then that means if these are the last days, any point of time, tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, or this week or next week, or maybe 50 years from now, the Lord is going to take his church out. It could happen at any time. Nothing's left. Things are going to get tight. The church is going to have to get close to the heart of God so that God can use our lives. And we don't have to be fearful. Why? Because perfect love casts out all fear. Remember what Paul said? Speaking to that beautiful church, 3-week-old church, brand new Christians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 and 16, he gives them the first time the promise that he speaks about the rapture, even though the word rapture is not used. He says this to them, "But I, Paul, do not want you, brethren, ignorant, concerning those people who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus Christ." What is Paul saying? When a person dies, he goes to heaven or to hell. And those that go to heaven, right before the Lord comes at the rapture of the church, he's going to bring with him all those people that have died. They're going to come in the clouds to meet us in the air that are alive. Check this out. He goes on. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died." Wow. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him to be with the Lord in the air forever." Wow. You believe that? Soon. Soon. I've heard it for 40 years. And people behind me and behind them and behind them, this has been taught men for even in the first century church. That Jesus Christ is going to come for his church. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet Jesus Christ when he comes? Because it's going to happen so quickly, you won't be able to think. It's in the twinkling of an eye. Imagine people that have cancer, people that are other illnesses. Some will be in school, some will be at work, some will be driving the freeways, some will be flying. It'll be daytime somewhere, nighttime other places. And all of a sudden the trumpet will sound, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, harpazo, caught up, harpazo, into the clouds to be with the Lord. So we're living in a time where Peter is writing, and Peter and Paul and James and every one of them, what I'm telling you, believe the same thing. They didn't see the rapture of the church. They died before the rapture. And yet Jesus said, there is a generation that will not die. And he gave us a key in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21 and also in Mark. He said, When you see the fig tree begin to blossom, know that summer is near and my coming is soon. Who's the fig tree? All the way to the scriptures, it is Israel. Israel was out of their country and their nation for 2,000 years. But on May 14, 1948, what happened? Israel was given an independence. They declared their independence by signing the document, and they were asked to go back to their country and allowed to go back to Israel for the first time in 2,000 years. And now it's been over 62 years they've been there. And Jesus says that generation, when they go back, he says, will not pass away. We are that generation. That generation will not pass away. There's a generation that will not die. The Lord will come for his church. And to me, that is an incredible thing. Why? Because the Lord promised it. He promised it to you. He promises to me. And yet think of Peter sitting there in Rome, suffering, tortured, thinking the Lord was going to come. But at the same time, he didn't come. And what did Peter happen to have? He died. He was crucified upside down. But he never lost faith in God. I may die before the Lord comes back. That's okay with me. I don't care. I'm going to be with him anyways. But I think it's important for our young generation of the youth that really haven't been taught to understand that this is not it. There's something better than this. It's Jesus Christ. And yet people don't understand prophecy. And right before our eyes, as I was reading Peter was ministering to me. Because as Peter was saying, look again, beloved, do not think it strange concerning what you're facing today, all of the fiery trials, which is to test you. What is that? It's preparing you for heaven to really see if you're a Christian or not, to really see what you're made of. As though some weird thing has happened to you. No, nothing weird. It's normal. God is in the throne. God is in control.
Well, it is good to be reminded that God never said he would spare us from all adversity, but he has promised to watch over us in our trials, molding and shaping us as he guides us through the fire. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ruiz. If you'd like to hear today's lesson in its complete form, we'll send a copy to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and mention today's study from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Now, to enrich your faith with more assurances of the Lord's sovereign goodness, we'd like to offer you this entire 1 Peter series. Rawls' 42-part study is available on both CD and flash drive. You'll find that there's true power in submission as you learn to navigate hardship with trust in God's perfect plans. Connect with us anytime at somebodylovesyou.com or call us at 800-634-9165 to order Rawls' 42-part study of 1 Peter. We'll send you the CD collection for $63 or the USB drive for $42. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This ministry is fully listener-supported, and we are thankful for your partnership. Your donations are a great blessing, and every one of them is tax-deductible. Join us next time as we return to 1 Peter to explore the question of why a good God would allow suffering in the lives of his people. Pondering the Lord's perfect and unwavering love, you'll discover that even without all the answers, you can confidently trust his gracious heart. Now here's Raul with a closing comment.
And it's really important that we understand that if he's going to come and we're going to meet with him, then what kind of behavior should we have in our own personal lives? Let me say it real easy. Holiness unto the Lord. Obedience. All the way through. Obeying, not disobeying. And stepping up to the plate and saying, Lord God Almighty, I give you my life. I don't care what happens. I want to give you my heart. Change my heart. Change my attitude. And Lord, give me eyes, spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and give me a mind like your mind. And then you know what you say? Lord, use me. Put yourself in the altar and say, I'm a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto my God. And allow God to use your life. Why? Because He wants to use your life mightily and powerfully.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.